In one of the Psalms of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Church prays, in the words of David the King, "Thou hast visited the earth and inebriated it. Thou hast many ways enriched it." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Children, do you remember the other Sunday I was speaking to you about how Our Lady appeared to five school children who weren't, as we saw, necessarily the best-behaved school children in the world, but Our Lady appeared to them at Beaurain in Belgium in the early 1930s. Well, I want to go back to that story today because I didn't have enough time to finish it with you. There's a lot to say, even though Our Lady said very little at that particular apparition. And I was thinking about Beaurain today because it's only 2 months ago to this day that I had the grace to make a little pilgrimage to this shrine. The town itself, you'd never know, is a very unprepossessing sanctuary to Our Lady. Lourdes is all grace. It's so beautiful. You feel Our Lady's presence in every part of that town, and the people are so kind. Every one of them is touched by Mary. But Beaurain in Belgium is a rather bleak Belgian railroad town, poor and gray, and it seems a little sad. It's hard to tell that Our Lady was there. It's easy to miss her, I think. We had a hard time finding the shrine. It was hardly marked at all. But I went because Our Lady said, she told one of the children who asked her rather boldly, "Why did you come?" And she said, "I came so that people would come here on pilgrimage." So I made that little pilgrimage, and there's sort of an outdoor garden with a Novus Ordo altar, and there's a modern and rather ugly chapel where they have confessionals, and then there are some other buildings that are even less interesting or worth a visit. The information building was staffed by very kind people, but it was very tacky and poorly kept, and the public restrooms were appalling for such an important place. But the railroad track over the bridge is still there, where the children saw Mary walking that November evening. And so is the hawthorn tree in the garden on whose branches she appeared almost 33 times. I had a hard time finding where the shrine was, and we drove past it several times. There's not much to see, and it's very easy to miss. I think that's how Jesus generally comes to this earth, beginning, what are we getting ready for now, children? Christmas. Beginning with the first Christmas at Bethlehem. The Holy Family must have looked invisible to most people in dull, drab Bethlehem on that cold, very cold and wet night when Jesus was born. Mary, the Queen of Heaven, and her consort, her holy husband, Saint Joseph, Mary with God inside her holy heart, her golden heart, they went from door to door and they knocked on the door and they asked for shelter. And nobody even saw them. It was as though they opened the door and no one was there. They looked right through them as people will to other people sometimes. I mean, in their hour of need. They weren't even worth an answer. And certainly not worth any charity. And they peeked through the shutter and never went out. Or maybe they slammed the door in St. Joseph's face, and he had a hard time keeping his temper. The only ones who saw Our Lady and St. Joseph that night, and who were stirred at Bethlehem were the innocent animals. They very willingly shared their space with them that night. It was the stable. And they didn't mind that the Blessed Mother put the baby Jesus in their feeding trough, because that's where their food was. And being animals, they were always looking forward to the next meal. But they didn't mind in the least. They happily shared what they had. But when it came to people, even the shepherds, who were very simple and honest and good folk, most of them, and who eventually came with gifts, only came because of the angel's song. They had to be stirred and forced along, as it were, to come and adore. Everybody missed the first time Jesus came down to earth, as he always does, with Mary. And at Bo Ring, at the very beginning, nobody believed the five children. Why should they, after all? Even the nuns at the convent school, the Sisters of Christian Doctrine, didn't believe them. And the Mother Superior was Mother Theophile, and she said, "I'm going to put an end to this farce." And she ordered the garden gate to be locked, and to boot, she let out two big old mean dogs who used to guard the convent. So when the children came hoping to see Our Lady, they couldn't get in. And Albert, who was the one boy, and he was the prankster in the group, Albert was 10, Albert said later that night he went to bed very angry, and he even wanted Sister's dogs to die because they were keeping him from going to Our Lady. But never mind. Nobody keeps Our Lady from going where she wants to. The children knelt on the street, on the cobblestones outside. And when even the communists started to say, "We believe more than you do," then the sisters realized they had made a mistake. And they opened up the gate again, and they let them in, the children, to see Our Blessed Mother. And when she came, they always had questions, as children will. "Are you the Immaculate Virgin?" They had learned their catechism very well. And she smiled, and she nodded, and that's all she did. She didn't say a word. The scene was so beautiful that the children were in another world. And so there were doctors there already. People came to check everything out. And some doctor lit a match under one of the girl's hands and tried to stir her from her ecstasy. And others pinched them and did other things like that, slapped them. But later on, they said, "Well, no one did anything to us. Can you believe it?" They told their father. "Papa, can you believe it? Someone said that a doctor lit a match under us, but I know that didn't happen." Because they didn't see or feel anything except the Blessed Mother, who was so beautiful that the littlest girl there, little Gilbert, she was about 5, she started crying because Mary was so beautiful. It was a scene of supernatural beauty, and yet there was so much controversy. The non-believers started to believe, and the good Catholics didn't, and everyone was confused, and pretty soon people started writing articles, even priests and clergy, I mean, and the point of the articles was to prove that Our Lady couldn't have appeared there. But you know what happened in the end? None of that made any difference at all, because Our Lady did come. And Our Lady took care of everything in her own good time. And everyone finally ended up believing, probably because of the cures. People always are looking for those. There was a lady who came from northern Belgium, and her spine was bent over like that. And after she made the trip in her ambulance, her spine was straight, and she was perfectly healed. And there was a man who, during the war that was to follow in about 8 years' time, World War II, who was a communist and a member of the resistance, and he almost got captured there in Bo Ring, but the Blessed Mother saved him. And then he came back, and he didn't know why he came back to that town. And the Blessed Mother forced him to go to the sanctuary. And he didn't know why he was there by the hawthorn tree. And then she forced him down on his knees, and she forced God's grace into his hard, dark little heart. And this communist was converted, and he never stopped singing the praises of her whom they called the Lady with the Golden Heart, Our Lady of Borang. What strikes me about this story concerning the school children, and remember that most of them came from homes where they weren't practicing the Catholic faith, what strikes me most is God's gentle sense of humor. What do you think the children were doing, children, as they went to the convent that night? They were supposed to walk Gilbert home in the dark. That was their job. She would stay after school every night for another session and something to eat with the sisters. Well, the boy that was there, even though he was the youngest, he was the ringleader, and he was a bit of a mischief maker. And on the way to the convent that night, just before they saw Our Lady, the children were playing pranks. They were ringing doorbells. They rang 5 doorbells in a row, and all the children would run away, and then they would hide to see if anybody came out. And they thought it was great fun. But the 6th doorbell that they rang was the doorbell at the convent. And in the old days, they used to say it always took nuns a very long time to answer their door. And so while they were waiting, Albert grew a little impatient, and he turned around. He rang the doorbell. Then he turned around, and he looked about 50 yards away on this bridge with a railroad track on it, and he said, "The statue is walking. Look, there's the Immaculate Virgin, and she's all in white, and she's walking there above the bridge." And everybody thought it was just one of Albert's jokes. But it wasn't, because then the girl saw Our Lady too. But when the sister did come to the door, she saw nothing at all. But you see, this was no prank. Or rather, this was heaven's mischief. Adults who are learned leaders sometimes, as at Bethlehem, miss the visit when Our Lord or Our Lady come. And perhaps that's why Our Lady had to go there. So many were missing her and her son, and they had stopped going to Mass and stopped going to communion and to the sacraments. So what does God do? He sends his mother down to earth to ring the doorbell, to ring the doorbell of many hearts. And not, of course, the Holy Child doesn't run away. He waits. And sometimes he has to wait a long time, because we don't see him, not at first. Well, Our Lady asked everyone to come to see her on the 8th of December. And 15,000 people came in just a few days' time, because they thought there would be another great miracle, like the miracle of the sun, perhaps. But only the children saw Mary, and she said nothing at all, and everybody just automatically got out their rosaries and prayed rosary after rosary. And a few days later, after an apparition, when she said goodbye, she opened her arms, as the priest does at the Dominus Vobiscum, and she showed to some of the children her heart, all of gold and gleaming like the sun. She asked for a chapel, and she said, "I am the Immaculate Virgin." Now, you children, well, you know, the older ones know, the Immaculate Conception means that Our Lady, from the first instant of her life, had no sin on her soul, no original or actual sin, and this because of the fact that Our Lord applied to his mother's soul the death that he would have in time on the cross to pay for our sins. Our Lady was preserved that way from all sin. Our Lady says, "I am the Immaculate Virgin," And that means that she's consecrated to God, and she belongs only to God and not to herself or to anyone else. And I think that Our Lady, by appearing this way, during the time when the Church should have been preaching the Fatima message, but was not, and should have consecrated Russia to Mary's Immaculate Heart, but did not. Instead, the popes were all concerned about politics, and they thought they could make a deal with the communists, and it all fell through, and many good bishops and priests and faithful were betrayed in a conspiracy and murdered as a result of that. So Our Lady comes again with just a few words to underline the Fatima message. Very simple. So much as if to say, I gave it to you once, and I'm repeating the message again now about prayer and sacrifice, especially the rosary, and doing your duties, your job each day, children, and devotion to her Immaculate Heart. Our Lady, because she's a mother, and she's a teacher too, has to repeat herself many times, sometimes. As she did with her question, remember the first question she asked? They said, what do you want? What do you want of us? And Our Lady said, that you be really good. And so, a little bit later, she appeared again, and she said to the children, is it true you'll always be good? And they assured her that they would, and she smiled and disappeared. That's all any mother can ask for. That's all our Blessed Mother ever really asks of us, that we be good and that we be really good. This is why Jesus came to this earth, and that's why Mary came too, to this dull, cold, gray world of ours, so that we could go to their home, to heaven, not for a visit, but for good and for always. And all you have to do to get there, children, is to be good, to be really good. She shows you how. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.